it's so corrupt. They're making a big deal about the release of the JFK files, and anybody who doesn't think that the organizations such as the CIA and FBI wouldn't undergo massive redactions and paper shreddings and evidence destruction. Who doesn't understand that they've had 60 years, 50, 60 years to have gotten rid of every last shred of proof that they did it, that they were involved in it? You don't think that? What makes you think they even didn't do the paper shredding? They're talking about a bunch of chump ass turds down at the FBI and all these organizations that are having paper shredding parties today. And these are like turds. These are lightweights compared to the people who were running these agencies back in the time of the Kennedy administration. You don't think Alan Dulles had the ability to completely excise any evidence of the CIA's involvement in the Kennedy assassination, even after not even working at that agency anymore, having been the founder of the agency? You don't think he could have orchestrated, or anyone or his friends or the people that were there couldn't have orchestrated the absolute redaction and absolute removal of any shred of evidence pointing to the fact that they offed Kennedy? You didn't have to be an idiot. Okay, so they're doing this distraction, Trump, because they're distracting away from the fact that the Epstein, Israeli Mossad Epstein child sex entrapment scheme that was run by Israeli Mossad, says Ari Ben Manash, former Mossad, said Epstein's operation was a Mossad operation. Ghislaine Maxwell's father was a Mossad agent, among other nationalities that he offered his service, his espionage services to. Okay? And there's no way that this Israeli Mossad child sex entrapment scheme for the blackmailing of the American political establishment and corporate establishment and Bill Gates. There's no way. Impossible. No way. Impossible for the FBI to have not been involved in that operation, nor probably the CIA as well. There's no way the Israeli Mossad is going to be running jumbo jets, I think there were 757s or whatever that Epstein had. Sikorsky helicopters. Private jets called Lolita Express to Lolita Island. You know, there's no way that an operation of this magnitude involving so many prominent personalities, including a sitting Supreme Court Justice Roberts, was at Jeff Epstein's island. Talk about being on the Epstein list. We knew that 4 years ago. They say, oh, the list, that Kash Patel, Donald Trump, and Pam Bondi, hardened Zionists, well, they're not really hardened Zionists, you see, because no Jew is really a hardened Zionist. It's a Zionist of convenience, let's say. It's a Zionist because there's something in it for you. That's why, yeah. So, but they're not. But nevertheless, if the effect is that they're all for Team Israel, yeah, might as well be hardened Zionists, even though they're just doing it for power and money and or prestige or media approval or the green lighting of your career through the corridors of power in the West. You have to be on Team Jew, number one. So, of course, like I say, I always challenge the degree to which anyone is authentic in any of their beliefs, but that's a different show. The I'm the first and only journalist ever to sit there and say, well, when Alex Acosta came out, freaking, I don't know, 10 years, well, at the time, what I think it was when he was in the first Trump administration, he was tapped to fulfill some position, some functionary like him. Alex Acosta was the guy's name. And he was a prosecuting attorney, or supposedly, I think, down there in Florida during the first Jeffrey Epstein child sex encounter, where the law started to pick him up and arrest him. I think that was in 2008, somewhere thereabouts. And he made that sweet deal, letting Epstein off the hook. And at the initial Trump regime, right? Trump 45, right? He said, well, when the media said, well, this guy let Jeff Epstein off the hook, so he's not qualified to work for the U.S. government, they said. The media said, the political establishment said, right? And then in response, Alex Acosta, who was getting booted out of his cabinet position by the collective force of media and the political establishment, said, I was told that he was that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence and he was above my pay grade. Okay, above my pay grade. Okay. I'm the first and only journalist to ever say, well, why the fuck didn't anyone ever say, okay, get him on the stand and ask him. Okay, Alex, who told you? What is the name of the person? Because it's a person. It wasn't a computer that told him, right? It was a person, a human being. What? Who was the person that told you that Jeffrey Epstein is above your fucking pay grade? Duh. It seems like the most normal question to ask. But the media will never, the mainstream media will never ask that question. They don't want to know. Because it's their peeps. It's their world there. Right? Jeffrey Epstein's operation was for the elite. Yeah. The local postman didn't indulge in the treats that were on offer down at Jeffrey's Lolita Mansion or down at Lolita Island or on the infamous Lolita Express with the bedrooms in the back. That was not for Joe or Jane's six-pack. That was for the ruling establishment. These bunch of cheesy fuckwads who think that they're better than us and they have low IQ. They don't have that high of IQs, but not that even that's so important. They wouldn't last 2 seconds in an argument with Harry Vox if it was in a legitimate debate. They wouldn't last a second because their narrative is built on such a flimsy edifice of lies that aren't even substantiated in the slightest. No one thought to ask Alex Acosta or take him on the stand and have him swear in and say, who told you? Right. But, you know, Trump is holding back. Right. Just so you know who's holding back. It's not the excuse is, oh, we have to redact all the girls' names. That take about a day because these are all electronically filed at this point. Everything's electronic. You can remove the name of every single of the girl victims that are a part of this lawsuit. You can remove those names very quickly. So that's not why it's delayed. The Epstein paper. The whole Epstein case, or what's left of it, because, you know, we're being told that there's paper shredding parties, and I have no doubt that they put these memes into the memosphere, you know, and some of them are fake, some of them are real. Who knows? Even if the Dominic Kahn removal of those boxes, those famed boxes that in the days after Jeffrey Epstein's murder from the Jeffrey Epstein Manhattan apartment that had full 20 or 30 full page photographs. And I think it was the New York Post had it. Also huge photographs, but it was also released in that same format with a lot of large photographs in the British. It's a big one there. The Daily. I don't even know. But maybe even that was not even real. Maybe they said go in there and pull out like empty boxes, but we'll photograph it all, and then this way we can have. We can have leverage and say, well, we got some tapes, you see. Right? Puts everybody on notice that maybe there's a tape of them floating around in Jeffrey Epstein's estate. Because as we know from testimony from comments from Maria Farmer, who worked for him, that there was a room there that had a trap door in the wall. And when you looked inside, there was a bunch of like Israeli-looking guys looking at monitors and with like rows and columns of cassette video recording devices, like as if you were banks of video recorders, which is what it would have been. It would have been like an old system that involved tapes. Because Epstein probably didn't have the latest and greatest hardware. They probably used what they already had. So it was probably a very old system involving tapes. I don't know this. I'm guessing this part, but my feeling was he was so busy with his sexual escapades and setting the elite up with sexual escapades with underage children that he probably didn't have time to upgrade the recording mechanisms, because the cameras that were installed were deeply, deeply buried in that house. So it's not like they just had like big video cameras sitting. I don't know. I think they were like hidden cameras, essentially. Or maybe there were some cameras that were not hidden, but I think it was mostly in like the bedrooms where the elite would have sex with the girls. Certainly it would have had some kind of hidden camera, maybe behind a sliding panel. So when the corporate leader like Bill Gates would go into the room, maybe he would look around and see, well, it looks like wood paneling walls here. I don't see any like lenses popping up. And this 15-year-old girl from Siberia in Russia, because they were flying him in through the Luc Brunel network, the Jean-Luc Brunel, who also died in a similar way, was murdered in the same way in a French jail that Epstein was. He was bringing girls in from Siberia, blondes, and Epstein and Gates, they loved that fresh young 14-year-old Siberian girls. These are facts. I'm just telling you the story. Jean-Luc Brunel was flying girls in from Siberia. He ran a fake modeling agency in Siberia, Russia. And he was having girls come in and they were flying them for sexual escapades with the elite of the Western. Yeah. Yeah. That's why Jean-Luc Brunel died in very similar circumstances. Oh, he committed suicide. Yeah. No, he was murdered because when you are fronting for an Israeli Mossad operation that is a transnational child trafficking network for the purpose to blackmail the world's leaders, and it's a successful operation, and then someone like Trump comes along and blows the lid off it, because it was Trump who essentially said, go get Epstein. The Ninth Circuit in the Ninth Court, that's the New York, my God, I can't, Circuit Court or whatever they're calling it, the federal court in the Ninth District Federal Court in New York City, was not going after Jeffrey Epstein until Trump took office and said, go after Jeffrey Epstein, man. Okay. Epstein was fine. He was all good. Okay. And so Trump spoiled all the fun. Now, whatever you say, I'm just telling you the facts. I'm not a Trump fan. I don't like what he's doing to the Palestinians. So please, I'm just telling you the facts. Trump started the whole Epstein, brought Epstein back into the court system. Okay, and that forced the hand of the ruling, of the intelligence agencies, and they did, I guess, everything in their power to kill him. They had to kill, Epstein had to die, and so did Jean-Luc Brunel. Both those guys knew that it was a child sex operation for the elite to get them on videotape to blackmail them. Absolutely, positively. And there's no way. It is impossible for that operation to have occurred without the full, cooperation with the FBI. It's impossible. So however they segmented up this absolute vile people like the Peter Strzok of the world. He comes across as a kind of a creepy guy who might be a harbinger for this type of stuff, thinking that it's, you know, always with the rationale it's for, you know, national security and we're doing this for no. These are creepy people. That's a creepy operation. I'm sorry, man. You know, it's Israelis. It's the same old dirty stuff that they've been doing for the last 2 millennia. Not 200 years, 2,000 years. Yeah, yeah. But they're not even real Jews, because Johns Hopkins study says they have less than 2% Hebrew blood in their Ashkenazi veins. They're Lithuanian and Polish. But they're claiming they have rights to the Holy Land. They're from Poland. They're from Lithuania. They're not from the Middle East. They don't have these are not Hebrew people. The Mizrahi Jews are. They do have original Hebrew blood, but the Mizrahi Jews in Israel have darker skin than the Polish Lithuanian imposters. Yeah, and so therefore the white Polish Lithuanian scumbags over there treat the real Jews, the Mizrahi Jews, we would have treated black people back in the 1960s, something like that. They're looked down upon, and there's racism there. The fake Jews, the Ashkenazi from Poland and Lithuania and Northern Europe with the white skin. A Jew is as black as an ace of a spade, a real one. When you see the white faces on the Larry Finks and the Stephen Schwartzmans and the Alan Dershowitzes of the world, they're not Jews. They're Polish. from that section of the world. They're not from the Levant. Yeah, no. No, no. Not Jews. Jews, no. They're not. No. Okay? They're imposters. Okay. So, if the Mizrahi Jews, if the dark-skinned people, have claims to aspects of the Middle East, yes, no problems. Yeah. But the Polish and Lithuania, who claim to own it all down there, no, they're just a bunch of fucking scumbags, man. Yeah, they call them the Khazars, and you know, there's a lot. Listen, I've read so much about it. I mean, there's. And each time I read about the history of the Khazars, I always find gaps in historical timelines that lead me to have some uncertainty. I'm always looking for connections, but I believe more and more, though, it's pretty much, I think, the case is that they were the Khazars, yeah. But the entire story of the Khazars is a little bit murky. And each time I read a history of it, I come away with a different understanding or a different take on it. So, and the connections are different between, you know, the players back in these periods of time, you know, from the Khazars who were meant to be around the year 800 to the Sabbatai Zevi, that kind of stuff in the 1666 around there. And then of course the Frank, what is his name? Sabbatai Frank, or whatever his name is, whatever. I still have to make the connections there because I've read so much about it. But whatever it is, the Polish and Lithuanians who are running these child sex blackmail networks and who have been doing this kind of like cheesy, sleazy money, they're the cartel, same group. Yeah, there's all these white Polish Lithuanians, you know. Yeah, they may be the Khazars, but they're not Hebrew. They're not Jews. But they're operating under the rubric that they're Jews. So for all intents and purposes, they represent the power of modern Judaism. The secular Jew has a certain hold on it, but I think that the secular Jew is subordinate to, I think, ultimately in the end, to the religious Jew, but none of them criticize each other ever, never. If the most you'll ever get is a tepid criticism, but you're never going to get an all-out attack. Well, you occasionally will. You'll get something like a Norm Finkelstein. Okay, so but those are rare. Those are rare. That Jews will actually be honest and forthright in attacking another Jew for their heinous inhumanity and war crimes, war criminality, very, very, very rare. So statistically, it's the Norman Finkelsteins are, non-significant. Although they are great unto themselves, they are statistically insignificant because there's not enough of them. And they're sufficiently marginalized by the powers that be. You're never going to hear Norm Finkelstein, even on the Jewish-owned American television networks. You're not even going to. So, they're able to marginalize even their own, and especially their own if they've jumped ship, like a Norm Finkelstein has. But, so that's my take on it. It's Trump and Kash Patel. Somebody sent me an email that his wife might be Unit 8200, Israeli Intelligence Unit 8200. Wow, that would be interesting. I don't know if somebody could verify that in the comments section. I've never heard of that, but wow, if that's true, then yeah, that's there you go. They're not going to let the fact that the Jeffrey Epstein child sex operation was a Mossad. No way, and that Bill Gates was one of the biggest customers. No, Trump's right now trying to figure out how he could capitalize on it. So that's what's happening. Good luck. That's what's going on.